Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga, and again, we're in the coaching class. Hopefully, you're getting something out of this. I hope you can see some of the potential of this. It really is a different approach to helping someone. It's a different approach to leadership, and it really, really works. It really does. You know, most of my life, I spent, you know, trying to teach people, giving people advice, and, you know, people are amazed with the advice I give. They're thankful for the advice I give, but often they just don't do it. And in part, it's because it's advice. It doesn't come from the heart and soul of the person. And so coaching is really about helping a person discover what they want to do. And if they can discover what they really want to do and they discover how they're going to do it, they're more likely to follow through and actually make it happen. So, but we're talking about why this coaching thing has become more of an issue. You know, 100 years ago, it wasn't a big issue. But there are things that have happened in our culture that have eroded this sense of people taking ownership. And people sitting back and not taking ownership for their own lives. So the causes of the need for coaching. What I want to look at with you now is the loss of a biblical positive work ethic. Okay, I grew up with parents that were raised in part during the Depression here in the United States, and people were poor, and people had to work hard. There was no social net to save them, and people had to really figure out how to scrounge and make a living. My father-in-law died some 10 years ago, and I have one thing, from all the things that he owned, I have one thing, and it's a pencil that is about this big. And this pencil is sharpened, and it has an eraser. I mean, so he used his pencils right down to nothing because that was the mentality. He got up at 5 o'clock every morning. When I was 15 years old, my father decided he wanted to teach his three boys work ethic. So he sold our house in the city, and we moved out to a farm. And I went from living in the city to milking cows on a farm the next day. He wanted to teach us how to work and to take responsibility. He wanted to build a barn, and instead of bringing in the ready mix truck with all the concrete already mixed and, you know, you just throw it down, he bought a big pile of stones and a big pile of gravel, and he bought bags of cement, and he bought two shovels and a wheelbarrow and a cement mixer that we had to, you know, build the barn shovelful by shovelful and make our own cement and pour one wheelbarrow after another. Because he wanted us to work. He wanted us to see that when you work hard at something, it may seem like nothing, but if you keep going little by little by little by little by little by little, it actually accomplishes something. Okay, so this whole notion of work ethic, because of the somebody should do it for me culture, is sort of been eroding. People don't have that same work ethic, that if you work hard, good things will happen. And in part because of our culture, because of political things and because of economic situations that are beyond our control. All of a sudden the economy takes a dive and all the hard work you did for the last 3 years is gone. And so people have sort of given up on this notion that if you just work hard, you're actually going to get somewhere. And so again, because of all of that, people feel lost. So what we need is a biblical positive work ethic. But before we get into that, there's a couple questions I need to ask. Why should a person work hard? You know, so we have to try to figure out what's behind this good positive work ethic and how we've lost it. So why should a person work? Is work good or bad? Is work part of the good thing that God created, or is it a bad thing? I mean, in some ways, it's part of the bad. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, sin comes into the world. And when God comes and, you know, deals with the consequences of sin, he says to Adam and Eve, you know, because you have done this, because you have rebelled, because you have sinned, work is going to be hard. There's going to be thorns and thistles. And by the sweat of your brow, you will work until you die, until you return to the dust from which you were taken. So in some sense, you know, the hard part of work, the working hard and not getting anywhere, that's certainly a result of sin. But work in and of itself is not the result of sin. Because if you go to Genesis chapter 2, where we still have paradise, sin still has not had its influence. Adam and Eve are there doing things. God sees the places this man in the garden, and he's commanded to work it and to till it. I mean, the word work is actually used in paradise. Adam names all the animals. There's stuff to do. I believe when we get to heaven, there'll be stuff to do. There'll be work. It's part of how God made us. It's part of who we are, to take things and make things, to build things and to solve problems. That's, if you think about it, that's the fun of life. We do it all day at work, and then when we don't have work, we make up games, you know, sports. Sports is just a problem that you have to solve. Or, you know, the games on the internet, they're all about solving some kind of a problem. We love problems. We love solving problems. It gives us a reason to get up and do things. So it's a part of the good world. What is needed for a biblical positive work ethic? Number one, need. Proverbs 16:26, the appetite of the laborers works for them, their hunger drives them on. There's nothing like need to drive you to work. That's why when Paul, you know, he said to the Corinthians, look, the one who does not work doesn't eat. You know, if you don't work, if you don't eat for 3 or 4 days, you're going to be motivated to do something about it. So need drives people on. Paul said that. And there it is. Thessalonians. Even when we are worthy of you, we gave you this rule that the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Okay. The problem with need driving us to a work ethic is in our modern world, need is becoming less and less. Like in the United States, I don't work to eat. I don't work to put shelter over my head. If I didn't do anything, I would still have things to eat and I would have shelter over my head. I work to have a better shelter. I work to have better food. But I don't work because I need these things. Most of what I do is not because of what I need. Most of what I do is because of what I want. Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Okay, need is what really drives us. I mean, it's amazing when if you don't eat for an entire day, when you finally eat, it's like this is the one thing that's on your mind. And then you eat until you can't eat at all. You eat till you're stuffed. You don't even want to look at food. The thought of food makes you sick. All you have to do is wait one more day of not eating, and it will be the only thing that you think about. So it's this need that keeps coming back over and over and over again, and it drives you to do stuff. Okay? So, but if you take need away, okay, now we're motivated by want. And want is not as strong as need. I want this, but do I need it? And we end up wanting a bunch of stuff that we don't need. And the problem in our culture today, especially here in the West, where we have credit cards, you can just buy whatever you want right away. If you want it, you can get it, and then you can later pay for it. But see, that doesn't help you with a work ethic, because you already have the thing that you now have to work for. In the past, when you didn't have credit, you had to work really hard for something. And finally, the reward of working really hard was to get the thing that you wanted. So you're motivated the whole time you're working. Now you already have the thing that you want, and now you have to work hard. For what? Just to pay for it. And people have a hard time getting motivated to work for something that they already have. And in most cases, because it's not a need, the thing we want it, and then we get it 1 week later, we don't even care about it. It wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't the thing that we really needed. So what I'm trying to illustrate is the eroding of this work ethic. And without a work ethic, people can't get anything done. Their lives are broken. Their marriage is falling apart. Their family's not working. The church thing is not working. And you're trying to lead. You're a pastor. You're a church worker. You're trying to make things happen. No one shows up. You can't get anyone motivated. Why? Because this work ethic is being eroded. People don't have the sense of working hard towards something and eventually getting rewarded for it. Okay, we have a made-up need. Okay? Made-up need. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer, ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. Okay? A made-up need is when you buy something on credit, for example. I buy a car. I don't have all the money, so I borrow money from the bank, and then I buy the car. So now I need to work to pay for the car. But it's not a real need. It's a made-up need. It's a need that I put on myself. I didn't have that need before. I put that need on my... It's not like hunger, where it's a natural thing. Every day I need to eat. So all these things that we buy on credit are just made-up needs. And now I owe the bank money, and now I got to get up on Monday morning and work really hard at a job maybe I don't even like because I have a need. But it's a made-up need. And again, it's hard to get motivated to work hard for something made up. It's not a real need. It's something that I imposed on myself, and I'm always thinking, how can I get out of this? How can I escape from the debt? Maybe some of you are in debt right now. And it's just this cloud sitting over you, and it keeps you from actually doing anything about it. The weight of the debt keeps you from actively doing something. So here in the United States, we have different courses. I think in the enterprise class, I talk about how you get out of debt. How you can positively, you know, divide up your debt and attack it little by little by little by little. And you're just like, pouring cement one wheelbarrow after another. Little by little by little, you can accomplish a big thing. But you see, that's where a coach comes in, right? A coach comes in and helps you get past these things that we've bogged ourselves down in. Number four, obligation. Okay, obligation is actually a great way to get a sense of a good work ethic. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relative, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Obligation. So I got married about 40 years ago, and I made promises to my wife. I promised to provide for her. So I didn't have that need before, but now I have made an obligation to her. And that obligation pushes me to work. It pushes me to do things. And because I care for her, I'm gladly doing these things. And then we had four children. Okay, I've got to take care of these children. I've got to provide for these children. And I want to. See, it's an obligation that I have, but I want to do it. I join a church. I feel like I'm a part of that community. I want to help with that community. I'm obligated to that community. I join. I made promises to use the gifts that God has given me for the vision of that church. I'm obligated to this group of people. And that helps me. It helps me get out of bed. It helps me accomplish things. See, that's what a work ethic can do for us. But when people are, so what's happening in our culture is people are, they don't want obligation. They don't want to get married. They don't want to make a commitment to a company. They want to bounce around and see what's best. People don't want to make a commitment to a friend. You're my friend now, but who knows? You're my spouse right now, but who knows? Everyone has this sort of we'll see how it goes mentality. People don't want to be obligated. And because they don't want to be obligated, they don't have the motivation to stick with anything, to have a good, solid work ethic. Opportunity. Opportunity and grabbing onto an opportunity is a great way to get this sense of a work ethic. Oops. Ecclesiastes. I love this verse. Sow your seed in the morning. And at evening, let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed. I love that. It should say, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening, let not your hands be idle, because sowing your seed in the morning might not work. So don't just do one thing. You know, try this and then try that. And maybe this one will work and this one won't. But this, the writer here is so optimistic. He says, well, do this, but also do this, and maybe both will work. For you don't know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Okay, opportunity. Starting something. Many of you are here at Christian Leaders Institute because you're thinking about something that you might want to do. You might want to volunteer at your church. You might want to start your own coaching business on the side. You might want to start a church. You might want to be a better leader and take more ownership and leadership in your church. You're seeing some kind of opportunity out there. And what does seeing that opportunity do? It motivates you. It motivates you to take ownership. And here you are listening to this, and then you have to take a quiz, and then you have to listen again, and you have to get this certificate and that certificate. You're doing all these things. Why? Because you're being driven by an opportunity. It's creating a sense of work ethic in you. See, that's what our culture is missing. And that's why this need for a coach is becoming more important. Number 6, riches. People have a work ethic because they want to get rich. Proverbs 10, verse 4, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Proverbs 14, 23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So this is probably the driving force for most people. They want to work, and they work hard, so that they can get rich. But what's the purpose of riches according to the Bible? Proverbs 10, verse 4, this is kind of the negative reason, but the leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. Okay, there are people that are takers. It's sort of, again, that mentality, someone should do it for me. Someone should provide for me. Someone owes me. The world owes me. The government owes me. My parents owe me. The school owes me. You know, the church owes me, the pastor owes me, my spouse owes me, my kids owe me, my parents owe me. I mean, it's, you know, it's about me. You know, everything is about me, and someone should be giving me stuff. Give, 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 give. Okay, that's becoming more of a mentality out there. And because of that mentality, people's lives are falling apart. Because you know what? No one owes you anything. You've been given the greatest gift the world has ever known, the gift of life. And then you get life again, knowing Jesus Christ. He gives you the Holy Spirit, gives you a purpose, and you get all eternity. I mean, it's you don't deserve anything. Everything you get is a gift. If you saw everything as a gift, then every day would be an opportunity. Instead, no. I'm owed. I'm being, you know, other people are getting stuff and I'm not getting it. And so I'm unhappy. And that leads to not doing anything. So one of the purposes of working hard and getting money is so that you don't have to be dependent on everybody. So that you can actually take care of yourself, that you can take care of your own children rather than other people having to work hard for you. Ephesians 4, 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So one of the obligations that we should tie into is that will help us work hard is we're here to help others. It's not about you. It's not about me. Life is not about me. It's about me trying to be used by God to help others. That's the whole goal of everything. That's you're learning all this stuff at Christian Leaders Institute because you want to help someone. It's not just so that you can look good. Satisfaction. A work ethic gives satisfaction. Ecclesiastes 2:24-25. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat and or find enjoyment? So working hard and accomplishing things is actually the joy of life. It's where the fun is. Isn't it? I mean, if you find something that you really enjoy doing and it makes a difference, you know, real work makes a difference in someone's life. Even a business. Your business is not going to succeed unless your business is designed to help somebody do something or get something or to improve something or to make someone's life better. If it doesn't do that, no one's going to buy your product or your service. So, and that's the fun of it, to see someone's life change because of what you did. See, that pushes. Okay, but we're losing that. We're losing that sense of, you know, I'm here to help others. Instead, in our modern world, it's more, you know, what can I get? It's all about me. It's all about my happiness. You know, I'm not happy in this marriage, so I want out. I'm not happy being a parent. I'm not happy with this job. I'm not happy in this church, so I'm going to go to another church. The focus is on ourselves. And so everything is breaking and falling apart, and people are tired of it. And so this whole coaching thing comes along where someone says, you know what, I can help get you back on track. And stop blaming everything else and take ownership for your own life. Finally, this really is the essence of a work ethic. This is probably, you know, everything I've said is important, but this is like trumps everything. God's purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul says, I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just spending time doing things. What I'm doing is important. Well, how could he say that? Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, doesn't matter what you do for work, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is, I think, in our culture today, in our world today, we're moving away from this. People don't know why they're working. They don't know why they're having children. They don't know why they're doing whatever they're doing because they don't have a sense of ultimate purpose. You know, the purpose in life now for many people is just to be happy, to enjoy this day, to get stuff, to buy stuff, thinking that that will make them happy. But there's no big purpose for which it all goes under. And so people don't stick with anything. They're like hopping from one thing to the next. Maybe this will make me happy. Maybe that will make me happy. The minute they have a problem, they shift to something else. We really need to get back to this idea that there is a God. That's why you know, Christian Leaders trying to help you to reach people, because that's what's going to change the world. We need people to believe that there is a God, number one, and that God has a purpose for every single person, that God gives gifts and abilities to every single person, and he wants to use every single person to make and grow his kingdom. There's a plan. And it's eternal plan. What you do today is not just for your happiness today. It's for all eternity. What you do as a parent. What you do in your marriage. What you do in your church. What you do with your friendship. What you do with your job. All of these things have an influence on all eternity. You see, if people had that sense, see, then they would get out and do stuff. They would be motivated to work hard. But right now, people are floundering. Why? Because I'm just working for a car. Or I'm just working for, well, I don't know why I'm working. I'm working for to pay off debt. I'm working to be like the people around me. I don't know why I'm doing all these things. And so people stop. Everything is half-hearted. And then they wonder why everything is falling apart. And that's why this coaching thing has become more and more important, because people are lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And they're wandering about the field and they don't know what to do. And so then a coach comes and says, I can help show you the way. I can help you get back on track. Whether it's, you know, whether it's in the business world, or whether it's in the getting in shape world, or whether it's in the spiritual growth, doing something for God world. See what's happened? We've lost this sense of purpose. And with the loss of the sense of purpose, we lost this work ethic. There was something called in church history the Protestant work ethic. This sense that God has ordained every option of work. It's everything that we do is a calling of God. We're not doing it to sell this product or to create this service. We're doing this work to serve God in the best way that we can. We do our best, and it's not for the boss. It's not for the client. It's not for the people that buy this. No. We do it because we're serving God. Okay? People need to come back to that, and they don't know that they need to come back to that, and that's why they're searching for something. And that's why I think this whole coaching thing has become the phenomena that it's becoming.